Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Access America on KU Band Satellite Galaxy 19 and at www.access-america.net.
And good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Satellite Guys Radio Show. My name is Scott Ruskowski, and I want to welcome you once again to the Satellite Guys Radio Show. We've got a big night in store for us. We've got Tom Haywood here from Applied Instruments, and he's going to be telling us all about his Super Buddy satellite meters and all that other good stuff. If you want to give us a call, get online and ask Tom questions about the Super Buddy. He's going to be taking your questions and calls tonight at 877-SAT-GUYS. That's 877-728-4897. Also, as always, joined by goalie Bob Demitz. Bob, how are you doing tonight?
Oh, I'm doing a lot better, especially after that successful EchoStar 14 launch this weekend.
Yeah, that was a picture-perfect launch. I was kind of surprised how clear it was out there, because they followed that satellite in the sky for quite a while.
Oh, yeah, it was a nice clear night, and you could see when the first stage jettisoned from the second stage, it was picture-perfect. It was absolutely a beautiful sight to see, and congratulations to Dish Network and the EchoStar team on a successful launch.
Yeah, that was a nice-looking launch, and so far the testing on it is going well. The solar panels have deployed, and everything's looking good for EchoStar 14, so congratulations to the entire team there. Well, as I mentioned before, we have Tom Haywood here tonight from Applied Instruments. And Tom, how are you doing tonight?
I'm very good, Scott. Thanks for having me on.
Well, you've got an interesting company here. And first of all, before we go about your company, I want to say congratulations to you on the birth of your two new grandchildren. Congratulations.
Well, thank you very much. I have two other grandchildren from my oldest son, but my middle son, his wife did give birth to twins 2 weeks ago, and my wife and I are just thrilled to have grandchild number 3 and 4 all at the same time there with the twins.
Yeah, Scott talked to me the other day, and he was so excited about the birth of his twins, and congratulations, that's a beautiful thing. My wife keeps bugging me, she wants to have a girl, but I can't have no more kids, so
okay.
Sorry, dear. But let's go in a little bit about Applied Instruments now. Tell us the history of this company, because it's a very unique history.
Yes, Scott. The Applied Instruments was actually founded by my father, Doyle Haywood, in 1986. And Doyle has a strong background in RF engineering and had, in his career, had successfully designed and manufactured test equipment for companies called TechScan Corporation and WaveTech Corporation, and actually had designed and built some very successful cable television signal level meters known as the SAM series, and those were sold from my father's company of of Midstate Communications back in the 70s to WaveTech, and the WaveTech name is that's a familiar name to many that have some experience in the cable television industry. And Doyle was required to fulfill a work stint duration at WaveTech as part of that buyout. And after he had satisfied that stint, he broke away and founded Applied Instruments. And initially, Applied Instruments' product was test signal generators. And they consisted of field-portable units that provided a very clean reference signal that was utilized by the cable television industry for inserting these test signals on their networks. And then they could use those reference test signals to measure with signal-level meters downstream from where they were injecting them. And that was a good product for Applied Instruments from 1986, and to this day we still manufacture those test signal generators. But the model lineup evolved from just test signal generators to include cable television signal level meters, and that was in the early 90s, and things were rolling along smoothly here at Applied, and we were continuously adding different flavors of the test signal generators as well as signal level meters. And in 1996, due to some health issues with my mother, my father was motivated to pull away from the company to spend some quality time with her. And that provided an opportunity for me to then take the reins here at Applied, and at that time I moved into the position of general manager. And shortly thereafter, in 1996, I was attending a trade show. It was a cable television trade show out in Anaheim, California. It was known as the Western Show. It was a big, huge trade show, and it was quite a party, to say the least. But at that trade show, I was approached by a gentleman named Frank Accardo, and Frank's name is probably familiar with some of the old-timer satellite guys, but he worked for DirecTV at the time, and he visited our booth at the Western Show, looked at our cable television signal level meter lineup, and said, you know, I think this would be a good model that would succeed in the satellite industry if, in fact, you could make it tune to the satellite frequencies, those frequencies in the L-band. Mm-hmm. Well, shortly thereafter, I took that as motivation and good critical input, and came back to the shop, and we started experimenting with some L-band tuners that would tune to the 950 to 2150 megahertz range, and that was the start of our satellite meter effort. And to this day now, we're at one time we were 100% cable television test equipment. We're now about 90% satellite test equipment and only about 10% cable. So it now dominates what we do. Shortly after that generation of our first satellite meter, which was actually a combination satellite meter cable meter called the Model MDU, MDU is an abbreviation for multi-dwelling unit meter, we developed a new meter in year 2000 specifically to address some applications that DirecTV had asked for. And that particular model was a big step up in signal level meter capabilities because it provided beyond what we could do with our previous MDU meter, which only measured the RF strength of the transponder carrier and then compared it to a noise floor, but there was no decoding done on that signal. So in year 2000, we introduced a meter called the SAT-9520, and in that meter, in addition to the RF signal level measurements, we were able to provide a level of decoding that made it so that we could show a signal lock and the signal quality value much like the receiver works or the set-top box. And with that unit, we got a strong following in the satellite industry. I don't know the exact number of units that we sold, but it was popular, very good product for us. And it was an opportunity for us to really learn about what the satellite guys need to fulfill their applications out in the field. We were taking good notes on what we were doing well and notes on what we weren't doing so well with the 9520, and we then developed the next generation satellite meter called the Super Buddy. And the Super Buddy takes the ability to measure the different transponder frequencies and do that decoding. It takes it a step beyond what we did with the SAT-9520 to provide positive ID and SAT ID searches to determine what satellite signal we are looking at. And today, that is our premier satellite meter. And it's got a very good following in North America. And we're continuously providing updates and refinements to try to find the solutions that keep popping up.
Well, the Super Buddy is considered probably one of the best satellite meters manufactured today. In fact, when you go to any kind of Dish Network or DirecTV training, chances are you're going to be trained on a Super Buddy meter. And part of that is because of the amount of time it saves an installer doing an install. Can you tell us a little bit about how much time a person can save by using one of your meters?
Certainly. The when I was talking a little bit about the evolution of some of the different signal level meters that we've designed and manufactured, I really left an important one out. Right after the SAT-9520 was introduced, so around year 2000, 2001, Dish Network had recommended that we provide a meter design that was a basic peaking meter. And we had a unit called the Sat Buddy, and so that was really the precursor to the Super Buddy. And that particular meter didn't have a tuner in it. It was built very rugged, and it had what we refer to as a simple RF detector chip in it. And much like some of the other basic peaking meters that installers are familiar with, the old Digisat, the old Channel Master style meters, that's what the Sat Buddy did. And we sold thousands and thousands of those to Dish Network, and I think that provided an excellent solution to them. But what happened was, as you were alluding to, the sky became more crowded with satellites. And where before there were just a couple of satellites, in the case of Dish Network, they were looking at 110 and 119, and DirecTV had really just been looking at 101 primarily, but also 101, 110, and 119. As the sky became more crowded, it became more difficult to use that basic peaking meter to line up a dish, for the simple reason that you could peak the dish on a signal, but then you might get into the TV at the receiver and find out that you've peaked it on the wrong satellite. Mm-hmm. And so with that crowded sky of satellites, which has just continued to be more and more of them, that's really what dictated that we take it a step further and put a tuner inside that meter, still keeping it rugged, still trying to keep it affordable, but that will provide that installer the ability to differentiate between the different satellites and to even be able to then tune to the individual transponder signals, all for the sake of more troubleshooting capabilities, and again, as you were saying, to do their job better and faster.
And it certainly does that. We have Tom Haywood on the line with us tonight. He is calling from Applied Instruments, and you're listening to the Satellite Guys radio show. Our phone lines are wide open right now. Give us a call if you have any questions about the Applied Instrument products. Tom will be happy to take your questions. The phone number to call in is 877-728-4897. That's 877-SAT-GUYS. Well, Tom, one of the things I've seen on the Satellite Guys forums as of late, and this is a little technical question here, is a lot of people are doing Dish 1000.4 installs. And they noticed that when they plug the meter in to try powering the dish, it shuts the Super Buddy off. Can you tell people the proper procedure on how to set up a Dish 1000.4 using the Super Buddy?
Yes, the 1000.4 LNB is a more modern LNB from Dish Network, and although it is actually a little more efficient in what we refer to as the static current draw, the amount of power that it requires to be driven, there is an initial inrush of current to initially power that up. And so what our engineers have done is, with software that's downloadable into your meter, we've made some refinements that are associated and tied to the 1000.4 and even the 1000.2 LNBs, so that if an installer takes advantage of that most recent software update, then they get to take advantage of some of the magic that our engineers have put in, which essentially just allows the initial powering of that LNB with a slightly lower voltage, which also results in a little slightly lower current initially. And once we get past that current spike we refer to that the LNB is trying to draw, then we, with an under a second, jump back to the full 18 volts. So it's kind of invisible to the user, but the good news is it then powers the LNB.
Well, that's interesting, and I know a lot of people were mentioning that over the past couple of weeks, and 1000.4 installs are becoming the commonplace, especially when they're moving all the HD channels around. Now, one of the things mentioned there was software updates, and I don't know what kind of magic your software engineers are doing, but when I first got my Super Buddy to power it up, that 10-second countdown used to take forever, and now that 10-second countdown takes about 3. What'd you guys do there? That's a good kind of magic.
Yeah, that's a good example of some software and product refinements that have occurred to the Super Buddy, and yes, I've been heard that comment many times from many different people, that they notice that 10-second countdown is much quicker, a shorter 10 seconds, and it is. Part of that, we really wish we didn't have to do any countdown. We wish the meter could just turn on and work, but the decoder chipset that we use in the meter has a formatting process that that's what's occurring during that time, and we take the opportunity during that formatting process to display the 10987 countdown, but also to display the software, the hardware setting, the field guide versions that are loaded in the meter so that someone can, you know, every time they turn it on, they can make sure they know what versions they've got loaded in there.
Now, who decided on this design of the Super Buddy satellite meter? Because if you've ever seen it, it doesn't look like a regular satellite meter. It looks like you could put it in a bathtub and have it float.
Well, I'll take credit for that. But really, it's a team effort. My background, I actually have an education in architectural and construction management. And so I come from a background where we would do a lot of architectural design and product design. So as far as being proficient with looking at how, why, what, and a unit is used to try to come up with an ergonomically pleasing design, and then in conjunction with our engineers, we felt like the unit is friendly to be handheld, driven by the thumbs on the front panel buttons, but then to make it very rugged and be able to remain reliable for a long period of time, we chose an aluminum enclosure, so the metal enclosure over the plastic, and we put some heavy-duty rubber shock side caps on each side of the unit so that it can be dropped from 6 feet onto concrete and pick it up and keep using it. So,
well, I know a lot of people who dropped them off the roof after ladders, and they pick them up and they work perfectly. So it's great proven design.
We hear those stories, and we're glad that they keep working, but I must confess that I cringe every time I hear one of those nightmare stories about it sliding off of a roof or a classic. One time a guy left it on the bumper of his van as he was loading up to go, and I think he had backed over it, felt like he heard something that he backed over, and then drove back over it again, so I think he got backed over twice. And I don't think it worked, but he sent it in, and for a fairly low amount, we were able to get it going again and back to him.
Well, tell us, we got an interesting question here in the chat room, so let me get to this question first.
Okay.
A person who's a technician wants to know the difference between a Super Buddy and a Bird Dog unit.
Well, the units are somewhat similar in as much as they both, I think, can provide satellite ID, and I readily confess that I'm not a Bird Dog user, so I don't know all the nuances of it. But some of the things I've already described as far as the rugged construction of the Super Buddy, you know, we feel like with its rubber side caps and metal enclosure, field replaceable connectors, the enclosure design being a larger display, having what we refer to as dedicated single function buttons on it, as opposed to I'm always confused when I get some new electronics and there's either only one button or maybe three or four buttons that perform multiple tasks. We prefer having the single function buttons. So those are some things that are a bit that differentiate us a bit.
All right. How much of the Super Buddy meter or all your meters? Well, we'll go with the Super Buddy. How much of your Super Buddy is actually made there in your shop?
Virtually 100%. And when I say virtually, you know, they're designed right here in Indianapolis. They are final assembled and configured right here in Indianapolis. We do obtain materials from some local suppliers. A machine shop does our aluminum work locally. We have a good relationship with printed circuit board houses, also three here in the Midwest, that will take our printed circuit boards. So we'll bring in the boards to our facility for inspection. We do what we call job kitting, where we bring in all the raw materials, the components necessary to populate the printed circuit boards, and then we'll provide that job kit to these board houses, and they utilize their pick-and-place machines to put all the little surface mount components on the printed circuit boards, and then they come back to our facility for the through-hole component installation, and then final configuration and calibration and quality control testing are all done right here.
So made in the USA.
Made in the USA, and we're proud of that, not just, you know, from a patriotic point of view, but as our market is primarily the North American installers, we know, as we've already talked a little bit about, the tough life that these meters live, falling off bumpers and roofs and what have you, they're going to need service from time to time. And we've taken the design approach that's a bit different than some of our competitors, where we don't make a disposable meter. So some of the lower cost units with less features and performance, maybe if it gets damaged bad enough, the guys are better off just to toss it and get another one. We build ours more like an old Ford tractor, knowing that it's going to need to be serviced. And I would say that every couple of years when a unit comes back for service, we're eager to get into it, add all the latest refinements that we've learned to date on that printed circuit board, usually change the batteries, and make sure it's got the latest downloads, and then put it through its paces in the testing, and then get it back to them. And when that guy gets his meter back, it truly is working as good as a new one, and it's kind of like getting a new meter.
Yeah, that's excellent. And one of the things I've heard from people online is they say, well, you know, Super Buddy's all great in that, but my $10 meter is great. Can you explain the value between a $10 meter and a Super Buddy meter, why it makes sense and value to have a Super Buddy meter over the old-fashioned $10 meter?
Sure. Yeah, that's a great question, and it's one that we get posed a lot. And the reason is that we do tend to be a higher initial cost than some of the other satellite meters that are out there, and certainly more than some of the old basic peaking meters that you're referring to, the $10 peaking meter. What we've strived to do is to make a meter that is the best value, acknowledging that it's not the lowest initial cost. And where I was talking about the difference between our initial Sat Buddies and our now Super Buddies, because that sky is crowded with satellites, that basic peaking meter that you're referring to, it again might help you peek up on a signal, but you don't know which one. So that's a big part of it. But then beyond that, you know, having a meter that can be updated via software downloads remotely, that's a huge thing. And when we talk to people about trying to assess whether or not they can justify the expense of a Super Buddy, we also acknowledge that you can do installs without test equipment by using a cell phone and having one guy look at the TV set and the other one peek the dish or drag a receiver out in the yard. So we know there's ways to get from here to there without test equipment. But to do it the fastest and the best, we still think the Super Buddy's the best value. And when you get people thinking in the mindset of meter cost per job, that's where the Super Buddy shines and makes it a purchase that's easily justifiable for someone that's a true satellite professional. And to kind of throw a little bit of specifics at you, many of the installer fleets that do DBS installs, you know, that have tons of installers and just do DBS install after DBS install, if you take the cost of a meter and amortize that over a year's worth of work at, let's say, 15 installs a week, you're paying about 89 cents per job to do. And if a guy had the option of going out and doing an install, perhaps even a challenging install, and you said, hey, this install that could be referred to as costing as much as $100 for a truck roll to go do, would he be willing to pay 89 cents for that job to have a meter with the capabilities of the Super Buddy? The market has rewarded us by saying, yes, they are willing to pay that. And then after the first year, that that price of maybe 89 cents per install drops to half of that, and in the third year, even lower. So it is a bit steep for some of the mom and pops on the initial purchase, but the value, when you look over its life, if in fact it's a satellite professional, it's really pretty easily to justify.
Well, as they always say, the old saying is time is money, and Super Buddy definitely saves a lot of time when doing satellite installs. And speaking of time, it's time for our first call of the night, so we're going to go to the 951 area code and say hello, caller. You're on the air.
Hi.
Hello.
My name is Jimmy.
Hey, Jim.
I just want to say that the value is well worth it. The cost is minimal compared to the time saved and the information that's in the Super Buddy. It's unbelievable, but I commend it, and I will not want to go without it now. So commend you for that. But I just have a couple questions about the Super Buddy.
Sure, go ahead.
The first one I have is the 1000.2 and the 1000.4. Out here in the West, we are 1000.2 on the West Coast. Just wondering what it would take to get the 1000.2 moved to the top of the list when selecting the LMB, considering that's what we use. The DishPro Plus is at the top or second from the top, just the DishPro Plus Twin, but we don't use that much anymore. All that we're doing is 1000.2s. And what is it going to take to get that up to the top along with, say, the 1000.4 for the people on the West Coast?
Shouldn't be a problem. I mean, that's just a software lineup as far as the design of the menus. But I will say that the meter should refer back to the last install that you did. So if we were set up for a 1000.2 and we did our install and shut the meter off and we went to the next job and it also was a 1000.2, when you power up that meter, it's still going to say, hey, I'm set up for a 1000.2. So I don't know how big of a savings that would be since it does refer back, but it is a menu change that could be made if in fact that's required by the market.
It is doing that, like you're saying, it is referring back, but
mm-hmm.
I personally am a mom and pop, and I do lots of free-to-air installs.
Okay.
The 97, 101, and different free-to-air satellites,
mm-hmm.
and so I kind of, when I'm out doing work, I'm kind of like all over the place doing all different kinds of satellite installs, and so when I get back to doing a Dish Network, it would be nice just to have it right at the top.
Well, I think that's a reasonable request, and I can't argue with you that the 1000.2 and or the 1000.4s do seem to dominate most of the installs.
Now, especially since
yeah.
that's going to be the standard install going forward from Dish Network, that would make some sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll bring that up, and I would say that's something we can accomplish easily.
Okay, I got one more question for you.
Sure.
With technology, we all know that technology is just computers. When you buy them, they're outdated, and technology just keeps moving forward. The Super Buddy for me is invaluable, and I would like to get another one, but I don't want to buy one today and find out that something is coming out next week that's better that I should have waited for. What is the next meter that's going to be coming out, and when?
Well, as a manufacturer, we're always working on the next model. But I can tell you, as the president of the company, it's frustrating that it takes so darn long to bring it to market. So I wish I could tell you that the next generation unit would be out next week, but it won't be. To give you a little more reliable estimate, I would say in 2010, so sometime this year, we do hope to bring to market our next generation meter, and It will be a little bit more modern, and specifically the chipset that we use inside the unit will be the latest generation available to us. To guys that are doing Dish Network type work, they probably won't see too many differences. For guys doing some DirecTV stuff, they'd notice some additional capabilities. We're always working on the next unit. But your example of you don't want to get one now, and then next week one will come out. It won't be next week, but it'll be sometime in 2010.
Okay.
All right.
That's good. I think that's all that I had to say, but I do want to put my plug in for the value of it. I've heard from many installers, just like Scott said, that What this little $10 meter is just as good as the $700 meter, but I was one of the same people until I got one. When I got one, I realized the value of it, and it's far superior than any other meter I've used, and it's simple and easy to use and user friendly, and I love it. I appreciate it.
Well, great.
Thanks for the kind words, Jimmy.
You're welcome.
Thank you for your call. And thank you for your call tonight on the Satellite Guys radio show. That was Jimmy calling. And you were talking about a new meter coming, and I don't know if you want to say any details about it or not, but one of the big things that is going currently is we're seeing in Satellite Guys is a lot of people starting to do more C-band installs. Are you talking to people that are getting into C-band a little more?
C-band has really been it's something that, certainly the quantity of people interested in is not as much as the KU band,
right,
but there are some certainly diehard C-band guys, and I'll tell you that many broadcasters and cable TV head-in systems that receive signals via C-band, C-band is an important delivery system. And so the Super Buddy is capable of working with the C-band, and any meter that we do going forward, any refinements will continue to maintain the compatibility with the C-band satellites.
Right. One of the big things we're seeing in regards to C-band is S2 broadcast, DBV S2. Any plans to support that format in the future?
Yes. Future meter will, the new demodulator chipset will be able to support the DBV S2 signal modulation.
Oh, my God. I think you just made a bunch of people faint in the Satellite Guys chat room, because one of the hardest things is hitting those S2 signals, and right now there's no testing meter out there that can do it for the consumer or the installer, so that would be great.
Okay.
All right. Let's go to the 740 area code right now and say hello, caller. You're on the air.
Hi, Tom. Scott. This is Travis from Ohio. Hey, I've had this problem with my meter a couple times. This has done this to me, and you might be able to answer the question as to why it's done it to me. But I install exclusively Dish Network equipment, and every once in a while I've had my meter tell me that I've got good signal level off both sides of it, but yet when I go to check switch the receiver, it will not run. Do you have any inclination as to why that would happen that way?
Are those installations where you've observed that, is it going through a DP44 or DP34 switch?
No, both times they have been 1000.2 dishes. And I believe when I fixed it, the one that I remember specifically, it was a dish mover, you know, the existing equipment, and I went brand all new cable and brand new dish, and they had a 522 and a 322. I had all kinds of issues with the 522. I replaced the receiver, thinking that it was the receiver because of what my meter was telling me, and the replacement receiver was doing the same thing. So I took that receiver to the 322 receiver location, brought the 322 receiver down to the DVR location, and the 322 receiver started doing the same thing that the DVR receiver was doing at that location, and then obviously the DVR receiver started to work upstairs.
When I asked about the switches, I've had a few guys that have had some issues, but that is really due to the fact that the input from the LNB ports to the ports on the switch need to be in a certain order for the Super
Buddy. Right.
Yeah, and so, you know, that's why I ask that.
I do understand that. I've had that happen to me before as well.
Yeah, but no, I got to confess, I haven't heard of what you're describing. I do always recommend that the installers routinely change out that replaceable barrel connector. Occasionally we'll get a tech support call where a guy either is not getting a lock or getting an intermittent lock, and it's due to a worn-out barrel connector on his meter. So try to, every month or two, throw that away and put in a new one. But no, I got to say that I haven't really heard what you're describing. But I'd be happy. I'll be happy to discuss it further with you, and what we could do, and always willing to do is, if we have to, we'd like to get the meter in and test it ourselves.
Well, that would be all fine and dandy, but my RSP owns the meter, so it wouldn't probably be. And in actuality, I can't remember that I actually recently got a replacement meter because the battery finally went bad in mine.
Okay.
And I don't remember if it was my original meter that did that or the replacement meter that did that. I know the replacement meter is one of the latest models because
okay.
it does have the ability to run the Wild Blue and the HughesNet without the Blue Bunny.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
But my original one did not.
Okay.
So, but I don't remember which meter it was that did it to me. I'm thinking that it was this newer one that I have, but I can't remember for it to be certain.
Yeah, I'd have to do a little experimenting to be able to better comment to you.
Right. Also, I got another question for you since I've got you on the line. Is there anything online that specifically, like any specific training courses that you can take online? Because there's a lot of things that I don't know about my Super Buddy that our company did not train us on our Super Buddy because they felt that it wasn't necessary that I would like to learn anyway. And specifically the spectrum analyzer, you know, I've played around with it a little bit and kind of have a feel a little bit for it, but I would actually like to learn how to use it in depth. But I think it would have saved me a lot of trouble on certain installs.
Yeah, I'll tell you that we have a PowerPoint presentation that we use for training at different get-togethers. And if you'd be kind enough to send me an email, I'll give you my email. It's T. Haywood, so it's T as in Tom, HAYWOOD, at appliedin.com. Feel free to request that training information, and I'll see to it that that gets sent to you. And I'd really like for you to also share it with your trainer at that RSP that you work with. And if necessary, that trainer can contact us, and we're certainly willing to provide any additional training in the form of that trainer coming to our facility, or if you'd like to, that's fine. Or if we're in that part of the country, we could schedule something where we'd stop by and do some training.
Okay. Well, I jotted your email address down here, and I'll definitely shoot an email off to you, and you can at least give me the PowerPoint
sure.
to allow me to look over it.
Yeah, okay.
All right, well, thank you.
Thank you, Travis, for your call. All right, that was Travis calling, and you're listening to the Satellite Guys Radio Show here on the Access America Radio Network and also via Blog Talk Radio. Hope you're having a good evening. We're joined tonight by Tom Haywood from Applied Instruments talking about the Super Buddy tonight. Now, Tom, that caller brought upon my next question here, and your software guys are magicians, as we talked about earlier, and you keep introducing new features to the Super Buddy meter. I just recently did a software upgrade on mine and noticed a couple new features, including a spectrum screen and a constellation screen. Can you tell us a little bit more about what those do?
Yes, the spectrum screen gives you a graphic illustration of the 950 to 2150 megahertz part of the spectrum where the L band resides for our reception after the L and B. And what it does is if you can kind of picture that the receiver in the meter is doing a sweep across that 950 to 2150 megahertz and then painting a picture on its display of the different measurement levels. So it would show you the amplitude of the signal being received at the different frequencies. And I think that that spectrum display is beneficial to verify that you are aimed at a satellite and you can see the humps or the bumps, if you will, of the individual transponder carriers and compare that to the noise. The other thing it does is if you suspect that you may be have a bad piece of coax between the L and B and where you're taking your measurements with your meter, that spectrum can show that amplitude again of the signal at the different frequencies and what would be indicative of a cable that's not so good for L band frequencies or that is worn out might be where the signal drops off or the signal level, the amplitude gets weaker as the frequencies get higher, and it would give you that graphic display with a slope or a roll off at the high end. So that's beneficial for the spectrum. The other item you mentioned was the constellation diagram. And the constellation, I'll confess it to North American satellite guys, is is not that popular of a technique to look at. But what that constellation diagram does is it illustrates the vector components of the digital signals, I for in phase and Q for quadrature phase. And I know that's kind of some high-level technical talk, but if we were looking at that constellation display, there are what we call desired landings of where the signal should hit. And if we looked at that constellation display and we saw some very tight balls, and in QPSK we'd see four of those tight balls. If those were nice and tight, that would refer to the fact there's not much noise and it's a good signal. However, if it's a lousy signal, a misaligned, where the signal-to-noise ratio is not very good, then those dots tend to be very fuzzy, and that's indicative of a poor signal. So why I think North American installers are not so keen on that constellation diagram is because in a faster technique, in our normal run screen on the Super Buddy, we display signal level for strength, but then immediately next to that, we show what we call the signal quality bar graph, which is a quantified value of the signal-to-noise ratio, and I think that's a friendlier, faster way that still is a measure of signal quality. But for the lab rats that want to look at that constellation, it's now in the meter.
That's cool. How about limit scan? That's another new one I noticed there.
Yeah, limit scan. That came primarily as from a request of Dish Network, that as they have their installers putting in the dishes all over the country, they have chosen a few key transponders per satellite that they utilize to grade how good or how bad that installation is. And so the engineers at Dish Network provided our engineers with those key transponders and the minimum signal quality values that they deem acceptable. And so with the Super Buddy, if you're connected to a 1000.2 or a 1000.4 LNB, and you go to that limit scan screen, for each of the satellites on those LNB clusters, we show what's required and then what you're actually measuring right next to it. And that provides the installer the ability, as he's doing that alignment, to make sure that he's meeting everything standing next to the dish. But then even more importantly, as they route their coax through the house or through the building and they get in at the receiver, they can take that same limit scan measurement again and make sure that after the distribution of the signal in that coax, that the signal quality is still meeting the minimum requirements.
Mm-hmm. Well, that sounds very good. And right now we have Tom Haywood on the line with us. He's from Applied Instruments. We're talking about the Super Buddy, and we want your questions and comments about it. So give us a call. The phone number to call in is 877-728-4897. That's 877-SAT-GUYS. We also have the chat room open, and we got a question in the chat. From a hobbyist here who wants to know, he's a hobbyist and wants to know if they have refurb units available for purchase.
Occasionally we do. Not that frequently, but occasionally we do have some refurb units that for whatever reason have come back to us, or engineering maybe had used for some testing and then no longer needs to utilize that unit. So I would recommend anyone that's desiring a refurb unit to give us a call, and we'll be happy to check our inventory at that time. And if we've got one, we do sell them at a reduced price, but it's not that often that we have them.
Well, I can't see anybody wanting to give up their Super Buddy because it's such a great meter. Oh, boy. One of the questions I get is, and people ask me this all the time, is does the Super Buddy have a new software update available? How does a person go about knowing if they have a software update available for their meter?
Well, on the back of each Super Buddy meter is a serial number tag, and on that serial number tag it has our phone number, so if they need to contact us for tech support, but also it has our website address. And if they can go to our website, we list right there under the Super Buddy category the current software versions that are available. So that's one technique. Another nice feature that many guys take advantage of is they'll give us their email address, and we have a database that we can send out an automatic email to everyone that's on our list, letting them know that a new software update is available and encourage them that they take advantage of it to keep the meter as fresh and working on as many services as possible.
Well, great. When the show's over, I'll try finding that address so people can sign up for that, because that's a great resource, and it's always great to have your meter with the latest satellite maps, because, as you know, things are changing a lot lately.
It's true. Especially we've seen, you know, it seems like a lot of work on the Eastern Arc satellites. So I was recently at a trade show in Washington, D.C., and one of the commercial Dish Network installers came and chatted with me. We had a good visit, but he commented that he had had trouble using his Super Buddy to install an Eastern Arc installation on a commercial building that he was working at there in D.C. But he got so frustrated because he wasn't able to get the alignment that he called one of his buddies, who brought his Super Buddy over, and it worked immediately, and they were able to complete the install in just a few minutes. And the difference was that his buddy had kept his meter up to date with the software updates, and he had not. So it is pertinent, or it's very important that they keep that software up to date to be able to take advantage of the SAT ID verification capability of the meter.
That's great. We got another caller on the line here, Tom, so let's go and take this call. Hello, caller from the 941 area code. You're on the air.
Hi, it's Rob from La La Land, if
hey,
I'll
Rob,
call it.
La La Land.
Yeah, DirecTV La La Land.
Say this is Stone Cold calling.
This is Stone Cold calling. as earlier, Scott, you know, as a billing supervisor, I do have a weird thing for a billing supervisor to have. I have a bird dog. I've had it for many years, and it's starting to show its age. Some pieces are actually kind of, I hate to say it, duct taped together, because I have dropped it off the ladder occasion just by my own slippage. So I have been looking for a meter. You know, to me, the cost isn't that great to buy, you know, something. I spent $800 on the bird dog when I bought it. So buying a Super Buddy is not, you know, out the realm. What's been the general... You know, I'm happy with the fact that I've gotten a good 6 years out of my bird dog. What's been like the average turnaround as far as the Super Buddy's gone, as far as, you know, technicians, you know, buying it and they've used it till, you know, basically it's just beyond any hope of repair?
Well, as I was saying a little bit earlier on the show, we've built the Super Buddy kind of like an old tractor, that it's made durable enough that if something fails, it makes sense for us to replace that failed component or part as opposed to just throwing it away. So to answer your question on how long it will last, I don't really have an answer, because the meter's probably been out there 4 years and they're still going just fine. So I don't know how many years they'll last, but I'm comfortable saying they'll last longer than 4 years, certainly. And I really think that what would motivate you to decide to get rid of a Super Buddy in favor of another one would really result in what we come out with in the future, or what the service providers are doing with regards to signal modulation. So like our old SAT 9520 meter that we had in year 2000, we feel like it's now nearly technically obsolete due to the fact that its decoder isn't compatible with the new modern signal modulation types that the service providers are using. And probably someday, way off in the future, the same will happen to the Super Buddy. But that's why we're always working on the next generation. But I think you could calculate or figure on getting several years use out of your Super Buddy, and it sounds like you've done a very good job with your bird dog unit.
Now, Tom, while I got on the phone here, let me ask a question about DirecTV 12. Is the current Super Buddy software all set for DirecTV 12, or are people going to need another software update when that comes online?
And what, do we know the orbital slot for DirecTV 12?
103.
103. Well, currently the Super Buddy is not locking compatible with the 99 or the 103, and DirecTV is using a DVB-S2 modulation on those Ka-band satellites, and as we talked about earlier, we're not compatible with the DVB-S2 signal modulation. So doing the DirecTV installs with the 99 or the 103 does require you to follow the DirecTV instructions of utilizing the dithering process while looking at the 101 satellite.
Great. Rob, any more questions for Tom?
Yeah, just one. I noticed because I was looking at the website while you've been talking to Scott. There's the two models that I saw, the Super Buddy right now, the original and then the new Super Buddy 29 that supports swim setups. Now, my question would be, since I do more than this DirecTV, you know, this is personally, you know, something that I use for myself, not for, you know, installs, a pure hobbyist thing, fixing, you know, I might fix family and friends satellites, be it, you know, Dish Network or DirecTV, and I have my own FTA farm on my own. Now, with the 29, is that strictly swim, and I'm not going to be able to use it for any other application other than DirecTV?
No. The difference between what you refer to as the regular Super Buddy and the newer Super Buddy 29 is really pretty subtle. They are identical in every way, except on the Super Buddy 29, we've added one additional printed circuit board inside about the size of your thumbnail, and that allows us to take battery voltage and step it up beyond the normal 13 to 18 volts, but up to 21 volts for the swim LNBs and up to 29 volts for the Wild Blue and ExploreNet TRIAs or LNBs used for the two-way internet. So my recommendation to people, if they say, hey, I don't really do anything other than Dish Network, then I say the regular Super's the way to go. But if they say, yeah, I do some DirecTV swim stuff, or I'm doing some Wild Blue, then it's nice to have the Super Buddy 29. I do feel compelled to add a little bit. The regular Super Buddy is locking compatible with the Wild Blue as well as the ExploreNet. But on the regular Super Buddy, as opposed to the Super 29, you would need to power that TRIA or LNB from the modem inside or through a little external device we've manufactured called the Blue Bunny. So still can work, but just does require some external power.
All right, Rob. Well, thank you for your call.
Thanks. Bye.
All right, that was Rob there. And we thank him for his call. And now we're going to go to the 208 area code and say, hello, caller, you're on the air. Hello, 208.
Hi, this is Lenny Hess. How you doing, Scott?
Hey, Lenny, how's it going?
Pretty good. Pretty good. I think I've met Tom before at trade shows and stuff. And I used to be a retailer for Dish and Direct, and we used the Sat Buddies. All my installers had them and loved them, and sold that business. And now I'm out back doing commercial enterprise type installs. And I bought a Super Buddy through Pace. Few months ago, and I've gotten great technical support from Applied Instruments and the people there, and I was actually, I didn't realize I was going to be talking to you. I thought that I had to press one to do that, but anyway, I was going to ask a question about the about HughesNet and the DAPT meter. And on KU band, well, the DAP meter's on the KA. We use the DAP meter on the KA also. And I think I realize now that after the last caller, I think it was, that it's not going to be, probably you won't be able to update any kind of software to change the Super Buddy to be like a DAP meter. Is that correct, Tom?
That is, well, Probably. why I say that is I don't know. Are you familiar with a device that used to be referred to as the Opie?
Yeah, and now they, you know, we can use the DAP like an Opie on the KU band side.
Uh-huh. Okay, and the Super Buddy is compatible on the HughesNet KU band signals that are not DVB-S2 modulation. So that's good. But it is something that we've talked about internally to see if we can accomplish utilizing the display of the meter, kind of like what we did with what we call the Opie feature, to kind of emulate what the Opie did, but which essentially is using the smarts of the modem, still using its decoder and its smarts, but using our display on the meter, meaning you would need to be tethered from the meter to the inside modem, but at least you could be standing there next to the dish and making alignments. So it's something I don't have a conclusive answer for you, but it is something that we've noted that we'd like to do and that we're looking at.
Yeah, because one of the problems with the DAPT meter is that it fails to work when it gets below a certain temperature. So you're you know, leaving the thing on the dash of your truck with your truck motor running and keeping it warm with a glove or a mitt, and then, you know, you get outside and then you have to keep it warm, and I mean, it's just a, you know, a failure of whoever manufactured that to take into consideration that some installers worked in cold weather. And so it'd be nice to be able to have the Super Buddy, you know, just in a case like that, for instance, let alone it's just nice just to have one tool to do the same job, you know, again and again and again, and not have to pull out two different tools to do, you know, one job one day and one job the next day. So
we agree with you, and if we can accomplish that, we will, but it's a little premature before I can tell you that for sure we can.
All right. Well, thanks, Tom.
Okay.
Thanks, Scott.
Okay. Thanks for your call, Lenny. And, boy, can you believe it, Tom? We made it through an hour.
It went very quickly. I didn't know if we could talk for an hour, but I appreciate you having me on, and I enjoyed getting to interact with the guys we spoke to, and we always appreciate input from the market, so we encourage folks to call us if they have questions, whether or not they have the meter, and we'll do our best to help.
Well, give out your website address and your phone numbers there so people can get in touch with you and learn more about your fine products.
Our website is www.applied, that's APPLIED, IN.com. So www.appliedin.com. And our toll-free number is 800-244-2976.
Well, Tom, I want to say while we have you on the line, thank you very much for all your support of Satellite Guys over the years. We wouldn't be here without your kind support, so thank you very much.
Well, thank you, Scott, for having us on, and we appreciate what you do for the industry also.
Well, great. Before we go, I've got one more quick question here in the chat room that came up. Someone private messaged me. They're saying that they're having problems updating the software on their Super Buddy because their computer no longer has a serial port on it. We've got less than a minute left. Can you give us a brief synopsis there of what they need to do to update?
Sure. Sure. Like I said, eager for them to call us directly, but there are some USB to serial converter cables that allow them to get around that. So, of course, the newer Super Buddies have a USB cable, but the older Super Buddies were serial ports. So if they do have the older style, they need a USB to serial converter, and they can call us, and we'll recommend one that we know works very well. We also sell some. So, yeah, that's the answer.
All right. All right, thank you again, Tom, for joining us. Bob, anything further?
I learned a lot about the Super Buddy tonight, and it's definitely going to be the next meter I buy, and it tells you something when the product goes for more than what it's worth on eBay.
Well, thank you very much again, and thank you for joining us for another Satellite Guys radio show. My name is Scott Gruskowski, and next week's show we'll just be doing Open Line Tuesday. So anything you want to talk about in the world of satellite, we'll be here to listen to you and try answering your questions. That's next week on the Satellite Guys radio show. So join us again next week. Once again, thank you again to Tom Haywood from Applied Instruments for telling us all about his fantastic meters and his support of Satellite Guys. We'll catch you next week here on the Satellite Guys radio show. See ya!